Tension is growing in Ethiopia. Tigrayan rebels and their allies say they're advancing towards the capital. Prime Minister has joined the battlefield and many countries have told their citizens to leave. So will Addis Ababa fall and what would that mean for Ethiopia's future? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. Ethiopia's year-long conflict in the north is threatening to engulf its 115 million people in a civil war. Hundreds of volunteers are being enlisted to join the fight. They're encouraged by Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed announcing he will lead the battle against a rebel alliance from the front lines. International and regional leaders are calling for a ceasefire to allow a political solution. But even with thousands of people killed by the conflict, both sides are beating the drums of war. The roots of the conflicts between the National Army and rebels in Tigray go back decades. The Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, dominated Ethiopian politics for nearly 30 years, despite its members making up just 6% of the population. But that changed when Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed took power in 2018. The TPLF rejected his attempt to centralize government and unite ethnic-based political parties. And soon after, Tigrayan rebels were accused of attacking an army base in the north, and the prime minister sent in the army. Since November last year, the TPLF and other groups have formed an alliance against Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, and now they say they have their eyes on the capital, Addis Ababa. We will talk to our guests in a moment, but first, let's go to Zadig Abraha. He's Ethiopia's Minister for Democratization, and he joins us from Addis Ababa. Mr. Zadig, thank you for joining us. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed is in the front line leading the fight against Tigrayan forces. Could you give us a sense of what's happening on the ground?
The federal government is on a stronger position and on the offensive line. In all fronts, the terrorists are on the run. They are losing commanders and are in disarray. Following our prime minister's decision to lead the army from the front lines, there is a boost in the morale of our fighters. So things are changing by the day. Things are being reversed. Mm-hmm. The tide is on our side, and TPLF is losing big time.
When you say that the tide is on your side, the rebels said that they captured a crucial area on the main corridor, which is leading to the capital, about 200 kilometers from Addis Ababa, and that it's just about a matter of time before they take control of the capital. This does not seem to be good news for your army.
The rebels' false bravado is saying they will capture Addis Ababa is simply a wish list, a dream in the night and a wish in the day for their false propaganda. We are capable of defending Addis from any aggression. The rebels are losing big time. They are on the retreat. And if you happen to have eyes and ears on the ground, you could have witnesses by yourselves. It's changing by the day. Mm-hmm. Following our prime minister's decision to join our army on the front line, things are changing. So the idea of capturing Addis Ababa has only been changed into a thin air.
The UN chief and the US special envoy to the Horn of Africa have been basically saying that all the parties need to stop the fighting and give diplomacy a chance. Do you believe that this is still possible, a diplomatic way out of the crisis in Ethiopia?
The government of Ethiopia has no problem settling any differences diplomatically. The problem is TPLF is attacking our cities, killing our citizens, and while these things are happening, while crimes against humanity are being committed, the idea of settling the difference diplomatically is simply against the truth on the ground.
You don't seem to be pretty much happy with the latest statements made by many leaders from the international community, very critical of Addis Ababa in a way or another.
We are aware of the critical voices, but we are also aware of there are voices that are in support of us. Mm-hmm. We believe the critical voices will come to their sense. Those that are coming from the line, that they, from the line of lacking information, will provide them with enough information so that the base of their decision can be changed. Those that are trying to attack us will face them head on, mm-hmm. so that Ethiopia will be in a position to showcase its agenda to the rest of the international community. We believe history is on our side, time is on our side. We're on the right, fighting for the right cause, preserving the territorial integrity, the national integrity of this country. And we believe the international community will be on our side.
You're the Minister for Democratization. So basically, you're the man in charge of reaching out to the different voices of the country to bring about a vibrant democracy in the country. The TPLF, the Oromo Liberation Army, are saying that instead of reaching out and building bridges with the communities, Abiy Ahmed chose to consolidate his grip on power and that he could be anything but a unifying figure in Ethiopia.
That is that's a total lie. This government is the one that freed political prisoners. This government got rid of a number of laws drafted with a draconian mentality. This government won 97.8% of the seat, but chose to share its power with a number of opposition groups, ranging from district level to that of the federal government. Now the opposition members, leading figures in the opposition, have a seat in the cabinet. There is no reason under the sun to criticize this government when it comes to democratic reform. Mm-hmm. This government has introduced a wave of reforms that have fundamentally changed Ethiopia's position when it comes to democratization. Mm-hmm. Ethiopia is on the right path to make itself a consolidated democracy. If there is any positive thing to be mentioned about the government that stands in the first list, it is democratization.
Zadek, Prime Minister, about a year ago said that the campaign in the Tigrayan area is going to be just a matter of a short trip before everything is settled. A year later, the TPLF, along with the Oromo Liberation Army, are on the verge of capturing huge territory in Ethiopia. We're now in a position where it's going to be difficult to defeat them. Are you willing, at any moment, to consider power-sharing deal with all the different military factions operating in Ethiopia?
First, there are five fronts in this war, and we have done well. We have stopped the march of the TPLF, and we have, in a way, pushed them back in four fronts. We are talking about one front. So if you want to see the total picture, the bigger picture of this war, we are actually winning. Having said that, Ethiopia, for the first time in its history, on the path of becoming a consolidated democracy. We believe anything that comes through the muzzle of a deadly weapon will not be a way to make Ethiopians achieve their century-old dream, which is making Ethiopia a consolidated democracy. So power sharing with this rebel group can only bring Ethiopia back to where it was, which is authoritarianism. That's why it is fundamentally unthinkable for this government to share power with those that are that are killing our people, that are trying to destroy our cities. That's impossible.
Mr. Zadig Abraha, Ethiopia's Minister for Democratization, thank you very much indeed for your time. And now, time for our guest in London, Martin Plott, fellow at University of London's Institute of Commonwealth Studies. In Amsterdam, Jebri Christos Gebreselassie, researcher and managers Draad.com, a website documenting the war in Tigray. Martin, you must have listened to the Ethiopian Minister for Democratization. He's basically saying there's absolutely no way to negotiate with the TPLF. How do you see the crisis moving forward, particularly with the army suffering major setbacks over the last few weeks?
Well, I thought what he told you was very interesting. I mean, there are two points that he made which are worth recalling. One is that he said that Prime Minister Abe won an election with 97.8% of the vote. I mean, do you know any genuine democracy, democratic election that has ever been won by that kind of number? I mean, that alone should tell you that there was something wrong with it. The other thing he pointed out was that they have pushed back the Tigrayans on four fronts, and we're only talking about one front. But that in itself is extremely important statement because, I mean, I think it is accurate, not that they are necessarily pushing them back, but that there are five fronts. I mean, for a military to have to contend with five separate fronts that are advancing towards it, or even if that they are holding them, is extremely difficult. And I think that that indicates just how hard it is for the Ethiopian military at the moment.
Gebrekistas, is quite interesting, the spectacular rise of the TPLF over this year in particular. And one of the questions is basically how did they manage to outperform, outflank one of the best trained armies in the African continent?
Well, let's look a little bit into how the war started. So the military was first decapacitated by removing the Tigrayan members of the defense forces. We are talking about 17,000 members of the defense forces. These were capable leaders, and they removed them from the defense forces at the beginning of the war. And then they came to Tigray, and in Tigray, the Tigrayan forces withdrew to the mountains. They built their army, and they decimated huge divisions of the army there. And then that gave the Tigrayan forces a lot of exercise, if you will, and also a lot of weapons and ammunition. And with that, they marched forward. And remember that these Ethiopian forces have basically, they haven't been told why they are even fighting. And they have very different interests. They fight among each other. For example, the Amharas fight with the Ethiopian defense forces. The Eritrean forces have other interests. They also fight sometimes. So it's just a huge assemblage of forces that share almost no common goal. And I think that's why they are being defeated, you know, in almost all fronts.
Mm-hmm. Martin, do you think that the involvement of the Eritrean army in the conflict was a turning point in the sense that it rallied the anti-establishment, anti-Ethiopian army, anti-Eritrean sentiment among the Tigrayans?
Well, it wasn't just the involvement of the Eritreans in the actual fighting, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the Tigrayans were hit from the north by the Eritreans and by the from the east and from the south by the Ethiopian army and the Amhara militia. Plus, of course, don't forget there were also Somali troops, perhaps 3,000 to 5,000 troops that also participated. So it was a huge involvement. And what's really interesting now is that President Isaias Afwerki, the leader of Eritrea, is not involved in the war anymore. Now, he could launch his military, which are still encamped along the northern part of Tigray, into Tigray. And that would relieve the pressure enormously on Prime Minister Abiy, who is apparently on the front line, although we have seen no images of him on the front line, fighting in the battles that his army are conducting. Now, if he did that, if the Eritreans became re-involved again, it might change the shape of this war, but at the moment it's not.
Gebrekistas, do you think that the fight over this strategic corridor, which is a vital lifeline for Addis Ababa, about 200 kilometres from the capital, could be decisive in a way or another? It could pave the way for the rebels to take over the country, or on the other hand, it could pave the way for Abiy Ahmed to reverse all the gains for the TPLF?
Well, that could change, I think, a lot. But I don't think it's... I mean, Addis has other options as well. So it definitely is a big change if they capture it. And I don't know their efforts towards capturing that. I think there have been attempts But let's remember that the Afar region is a very hostile, flat area, not suited for the type of warfare that the Tigrayans are good at. But I think they're just following the highlands. And so far, I think we have to remember that what they have accomplished is incredible. Let's remember what the minister was saying. You know, this is going to be kind of like, you know, final thing, and that they will reverse, you know, the the advances made by the Tigrayan forces. And there's nothing new here, because they have been saying the same thing when they were in Tigray, when they were in Woldia, and when they were in the most strategic cities of Desi and Kombolcha, and they have been defeated. So I think, I don't know what the government strategy here is, and I don't know why Abiy thinks like he can change things by going to the front.
Okay.
And we, like Martin said, we don't know if he's in the front. I think it's also possible to suspect other things. You know, in Ethiopia, there's a tradition of, you know, taking leaders as, you know, as captives, like you put them in house arrest, and there's a slow, a tradition of slow coup, as we remember from the emperor. So I think we can also suspect other things, but it's really clear, or it's, I think, reasonable to assume that the government has lost the war and it's just in its final desperate ditch towards, you know, changing the advances. But I don't see a future for them in this
Martin, regard. Entire army divisions were completely decimated in the past few months. The TPLF is battle-hardened fighters who, since 1975, they've been on the ground. They were key players in overthrowing the government in 91, and the rest was history. They were basically involved in every aspect of political security and military life in Ethiopia. Could it be the realization that should happen now within the establishment, and Abiy Ahmed in particular, that there's absolutely no way to move forward or have peace in Ethiopia without the TPLF, although they remain a minority?
I mean, you're absolutely right to point out this, this as an issue. I mean, at the end of the day, the Tigrayans are not going anywhere. Ethiopia is not going to move into a new area. So it is absolutely vital that in the end, all conflicts end in negotiations. The question is what the terms of the, those negotiations will be. And there has to be some kind of settlement that involves not just the Tigrayans, but the Oromo and all the other nationalities that make up Ethiopia, which make it such an extraordinarily rich, diverse, and wonderful country. And, you know, some kind of settlement has to be achieved. But there are really only two visions on offer. Mm-hmm. There's the old imperial vision, which says that there's one country and everybody is an Ethiopian. Who cares about the nationality? There's the other option, which was offered by the Tigrayans, which says we're a federation of ethnicities. And those are the two basic positions that everybody falls into in the end. And, you know, Prime Minister Abiy started, shall we say, in one position and moved towards the old imperial position. And I don't know how this is going to be resolved. But in the end, it has to be resolved by the people of Ethiopia. There's nobody else that can do it. And they have to learn to work with each other.
Mm-hmm. Jebra Christos, do you think that the alliance between the TPLF and the Oromo Liberation Army, the OLA, is tactical just to defeat Abiy Ahmed? It could turn into something strategic that could reach out to different communities in the near future to build a new front against Abiy Ahmed.
I think it is, it's both, I believe. These two organizations have a history and a relationship that dates back, you know, to really decades ago. The only problem is that they had a very bad relationship when the TPLF was part of the EPRDF coalition. Unless this bad relationship gets in the way, I think they are very much related in how they view Ethiopia. They are federalists or confederalists. So there's really, if they move from that type of, you know, acrimony, I think there's a chance that they can forge a stronger alliance, and they can bring a lot of other groups in Ethiopia Let's remember that Abiy Ahmed has a very small base, although he has made it impossible, you know, for these different ethnic groups mm-hmm. and political groups to express themselves. He has only support in the Arban Addis and the Amhara region. I don't think he has much support in other areas. So these two organizations have a huge potential in bringing, you know, all these groups in the rest of Ethiopia towards this federal, confederal type of view and vision for Ethiopia.
Martin, this is a conflict that could lead to the disintegration of Ethiopia if it continues for a longer period. And yet you get this sense that the international community, the Americans in particular, don't seem to be really willing to move forward aggressively to bring all the parties to negotiate a settlement.
What more would you expect them to do? I mean, they have threatened sanctions against the Ethiopians. They've already brought in sanctions against the Eritreans. I mean, they're not going to put troops on the ground except to evacuate their own staff from the embassy. I don't really see what else the United States could do. They've worked incredibly hard. President Biden has made this one of his really a major priority for him, way beyond anything that President Trump did. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still hopeful that Ethiopia will be able to hold together as a country. There were voices in Washington that said that it could disintegrate. I think that is not particularly likely. You know, it would be against everything that the African Union stands for. And while it's entirely up to the people of Ethiopia, Tigray, Oromia, everywhere to make up their own minds, it's not for outsiders to mm-hmm. tell them how to live. You know, we can't predict how it will work. I think that Ethiopia will survive, but that's just a gut instinct and based on looking at the past. Maybe it won't.
Jebrakistos, what do you think would be the condition that would bring all the factions to accept a political settlement?
Well, I think we are in a new era, in a new chapter here. What I think should happen is, and also what the Tigray government has offered, is that there will be an interim government if the Abiy regime falls. They have also offered it, you know, a negotiated settlement, but it has refused it. But after the fall, they are thinking of forming an interim government and then bringing all political parties, all interest groups in Ethiopia to deliberate on the future of the country. And I think this is what we can expect here, is that Ethiopians will be able to, or the different nations and groups in Ethiopia will have the chance to really express their vision for Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And on that basis, I think the future of Ethiopia can be decided. But there is here a little bit of a difference. I think Tigray will demand a different treatment. Tigray believes that a genocide has been committed upon the Tigrayan people, and I think a referendum will be called on Tigray on whether Tigray will continue with Ethiopia or not. That is what I believe. So this new chapter will decide the future of Ethiopia.
And only events in the future will decide the outcome of what happens in Ethiopia. Martin, 2018, people thought that this young man, Abiy Ahmed, would generate momentum, take the nation into new uncharted territory. Now the sentiment is that his reputation has been severely dented by this conflict, to the point where many think that his presence will just continue to further undermine stability in Ethiopia. Are you of that view?
I think that he is finished. I don't think that there's much case for him continuing to play a major role. He's made huge errors. I mean, you pointed to what he said right at the beginning of the war. This would be a short policing operation. It would be over in a couple of weeks. He's made huge errors. And, you know, frankly, the Nobel Peace Prize was a ridiculous prize to give him at that stage. But, you know, it may be that power has already actually transferred to the Deputy Prime Minister, Demeke Mekonnen. Maybe he is the real power in the land now. We just don't know. And, you know, we'll have to see in the next few days and weeks what turns out. But the other priority that we haven't mentioned is absolutely vital, that aid gets through to Tigray. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are on the edge of starvation. That cannot be allowed to happen.
Martin Plott, Jebre Christos, Jebre Selassie, I really appreciate your insight. Thank you. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahlbara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.